Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the uncensored match build-up for West Bromwich Albion versus Liverpool Football Club, and we're all in a great mood this morning. I'm your host, Ross Chandler, joined today by Georgia Stevens, John Machin and Callum Sanderson. No Paul Chris this morning. You might be wondering why. They're out doing fun stuff. Well, not that this isn't fun, sorry. But I can tell you why, because breaking news from about 45 minutes ago, Robbie Fowler and Jamie Carragher have saved Melwood. The famous old boys will base their college academy there and use it as a famous training pitch as part of a community prospect that will rescue the legacy of LFC's former training ground. So basically, they bought it. They're going to use the pitches and run some of it out of Georgia. It's a bit out of nowhere because... Last I heard, I thought they sold it. They were going to make new houses on it, but just before we get into the game and stuff, it's excellent news, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great news. I mean, I don't think anyone would be upset about that. It's great for Liverpool to keep that heritage. I mean, Melwood's for everyone is just, I mean, as great as the new Kirby facility is and everything like that, it broke a lot of hearts when we moved away from Melwood. So the fact we've got two legends owning it now, pretty cool.
Yeah. And we've got the option to go and train there as well, John. Now everyone just goes to Kirby and just gets injured, apparently. That's the thing. So, but I think George is right. You know, that legacy, that thing that, we don't know any different apart from Melwood, the stories, what comes with it. It's important that stays in Liverpool heritage, as George says.
Yeah, you've got somewhere to banish players to when they mess you up.
Yeah.
You late for training, go to Melwood. But I mean, it's great for the community. We shouldn't forget, they really didn't want, a pile of new houses banging in there with all the traffic and all the rest of it. So it's fantastic for them as well as for, for kids who get the opportunity to play there. And, Robbie Fowler's academy is at the Aquatic Centre at Lifestyles in Wavertree at the moment, and those kids really get on my nerves when I go. So okay. It's great to ship them out to.
Have you got shares in this, John? Is that what's going on?
I didn't snip.
You've broken the deal.
Robbie, just buy Melwood for us, please, mate. Yeah, good call. On the football, Callum, we're all in a great mood. We just beat Manchester United. We just on the final word. Top four is back on. It's been a wild couple of days. Arsenal did us a favour. We went to Old Trafford and won a game of football because that's a thing apparently with, fifth and sixth choice centre-backs. Now we face West Brom. I'm not confident. It's their bogey side. But we have to go into this with hope.
Yeah, we do. I mean, I'm over the moon, obviously, about Man United, obviously. But as soon as the game finished, it was like, I can celebrate this, but we still have to win three more games. Like, if this was the game to get us into top four, then I'd be the happiest person in the world right now. But it's like, can we actually win the next three? Can we actually do it? Because all season you've been threatening to go on a run and you haven't. Please just do it now. Just make my year. Please just get us into top four.
Okay, right. Before we get into the show, we start talking about predictions and West Brom and Liverpool, what happens and Callum leaves. we do have a sponsor for this show. It's backed by Super 6 and they hold the L. This week, Paul and Chris went on that either, but they did discuss the greatest Premier League teams ever. I think the treble winners were in there. Centurions of Manchester City and obviously the Invincibles of Arsenal. Here's a little clip from that.
With all due respect, United didn't spend £400 million just on a defence just to build that team. They didn't spend £650 million just to even get to that point of this Centurions that have ultimately won a lot of games, which I don't listen, I take nothing away from that. It's an incredible achievement, but ultimately it's a stat padding record. It doesn't matter at the end of the day when you compare it to winning the Champions League, winning the FA Cup and winning the league as well. That is the greatest team of all time in the Premier League. Everyone says...
Okay, that is the Hold the L show for this week. Do make sure you go and check that out. The link should be in the description. If not, then blame Tom. Let's have a quick discussion on that. I know Liverpool obviously weren't involved in that conversation, Georgia. And I had a discussion with Tom before of... and this is me being mature, of I can appreciate the treble side, I can appreciate the Centurions, I can appreciate the Invincibles. Like, for me, there's like, I don't want someone that has to be one standout, but that is such as content is. But if you were to pick one, who would you pick and why? Or would you throw someone else in there? Because I think Leicester could be in there. Chelsea, 04, 05.
I'd probably go with Leicester because I think the Invincibles is too young to you know, to have any affinity. Sorry. But yeah, I think for me, Leicester, I remember watching that season kind of from start to finish and just not believing it until it was done. And just, I think that was something that I really remember watching and thinking, this is a bit of history. Like, you know, to think that side and what they did. And now you only have to look at where a lot of those side are if they're not at Leicester still. Yeah. I mean, Mahrez has really gone strength to strength since then. So I think for me, probably the Leicester side.
Okay, the right answer is Liverpool, who won the Champions League, the World Cup, Super Cup and the Premier yes, League but in the midst of a
it'll
pandemic.
It'll age like a fine wine. Okay. And it'll be for generations to come.
Just like me. Anyway, John, let's get on to this game. Carl mentioned it there. You know, beating Manchester United is great and wonderful. But coming up against the Bowie side, coming against Big Sam and his gravy train of defenders that just won't let us play football is another battle, isn't it?
It is, but I've really no idea how they're going to play. I mean, they're at home. They've got nothing to play for. They're already down. Sam failed to save them from relegation for the first time ever. I just don't know. I mean, I watched a few of their games later in the season before they were actually confirmed to go down. And they played some really nice football and were quite dangerous. So I'm wondering whether he might just think, oh, to hell with it, let's have a go. I hope he does. I think that'd be brilliant. But we all remember the game at Anfield, you know, where basically they just stopped us playing and then scored, you know, a late goal. You just never know, do you? But we've got the incentive that we know winning three games will get us top four. So let's hope.
It's dangerous, Callum, isn't it? You know, we did some cliches on the final word. I'm going to throw some more at you. John's mentioned it there. You know, they've been relegated. It's confirmed. It could be they're on holiday, put the feet up. It doesn't matter. They're not fighting for anything, like John says. Or it could be the pressure's off them. The shackles are off. Big Sam, like John said, you know, might just choose to kind of go for it, start working on stuff for next season. You know, again, you know, anti-football
championship starts now.
pretty much. It's quite a dangerous mix. And like I said before, you know, them and Burnley, the next two games coming up, but also them and Burnley have been the template of how to frustrate Liverpool. In my mind's eye, I think he's going to stick to kind of what he knows. But it's, you know, Liverpool beat Man United, like I said before, full of confidence. I think more importantly, we have to approach this maybe slightly differently.
Yeah, I think even though West Brom haven't got anything to play for, Sam Allardyce is their manager, and he's made no secret about it over the years. He hates Liverpool, and he'll do anything in his power to make sure we don't achieve the targets that we set out. Obviously, the game at Anfield was one of the worst games I've watched of football this season, and there have been some bad ones, but they literally just came just to stop us scoring. They didn't care about scoring. They just got a lucky goal, and that was it.
Do you think? Come on.
I actually think the fact that they've got nothing to play for, quote unquote, will actually make it a more entertaining game. And I actually think some of the players in their team will actually be trying to play for a move as well, potentially, so they can stay in the Premier League. So yeah, that's another thing to consider. But it's a game we should be winning on paper, but as we've seen this season, nothing is played on paper, so it'll be interesting to see how they turn up.
Sorry, Callum, are you trying to suggest that they don't want to play for Big Sam or in the Championship and they might want to leave?
What an honor.
I need my lawyer.
Needed your lawyer 10 minutes ago when we were having a chat off screen, mate. George, I keep coming back to it because I'm still buzzing from last night. And, you know, I mentioned on the final word the fact that, you know, Jota's on the score sheet, Bobby's on the score sheet, Salah's on the score sheet again. I think that the importance of that can't go underestimated. We're in the business end of the season. The door's back open for top four. We can go into this with hope and, you know, I think concerns of, you know, two blocks of four. You know, we've seen it before, no shots on target, that sort of thing. But in terms of, you know, we said before, confidence, momentum, you know, that win last night was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's not just the top three as well. I think we've also got Fabinho looking like he's comfortable in his role again in the holding, which we've touched on again. The final word frees up Thiago massively. He's starting to kind of play the football that we've seen and we wanted. And I think you're seeing Trent as well coming into form. I think there's a lot of players in the Liverpool side, as frustrating as it is towards the end of the season, who are kind of finding their feet again. And I think, again, that win last night is massive for us going into this game because we're starting to play a bit more like a Liverpool side.
Yeah, and like you said before, John, you know, it's win or bust at this point, isn't it? I think we said this quite countless times in the past couple of weeks, but because that door is still open, you know, we can talk about Burnley, we can talk about, you know, Chelsea playing Leicester, but those games don't count if we don't win this one.
Yeah, I mean, on Twitter last night, someone had gone to the trouble of working out, well, he actually worked out before the United game, that if everyone won all their games,
yeah,
and then what the scenario would be depending on what the results of the Leicester-Chelsea game are, you know, a win either way or a draw. And in every scenario, if we win our three games, we finish fourth. The only possible thing against that would be goal difference. So we've got a game more than either of those. So that's an opportunity for us to score more goals. So the players will know this. The players know that they're in great form at the moment. You know, for the first time all season, that, you know, I don't know how long it is now since they were beaten, but it must be at least seven games. They're on top form. They're scoring goals. And they've got a great formation, and they must think, you know, all we need to do is win these three games, and we're the best team in the country still on our day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, yeah, I mean, we should be. I mean, but we're playing three of the toughest games for us.
Yeah.
Because these teams give us trouble. You know, West Brom, Burnley and Crystal Palace, you couldn't make it up.
No, yeah, I'll be a bit more confident about last night than I am the remaining three. But, you know, again, we talked about it, Cam. It's the hope that kills you. And just on the flip side of the West Brom stuff, like I know it's a cliches, but also getting relegated is mentally kind of tough to take. You know, their form recently, I think, you know, they beat Southampton a couple of weeks ago, but they've lost to Leicester, drew with Villa, drew with Wolves, lost to Arsenal, you know, of all people who aren't really high. Well, for Arsenal's form is pretty decent, actually, to be fair to them. But again, it's, you know, it's defeat after defeat. Morale goes slightly down. We can joke about it all we want of, you know, they might rest or whatever. But, you know, you've just been relegated from the Premier League in a manager that you brought in to stop you from doing that, whose record before was not to get relegated. And it's happened. So, you know, their confidence could be on the floor.
Yeah, as bad as it's going to sound, I hope it is. Because yeah. I want us to win this game. I really, we need to win this game. And if their confidence is low, we need to make sure we really get about the game and we really take it to them. I mean, as John said, we're in really good form right now. We need to take advantage of this and really show why we are one of the best teams in Europe.
I'm all for that. You know, just get it done. Can't come quick enough. We're going to do a little break now. But before we do, is a little trivia question, George. Don't jump in with an answer like I did before. There are 18 players that have played for West Brom and for Liverpool. There's like loads that you just won't get. I only want you to name five of them. If you can, get them in the comments. But before we do, yeah, a little break. Paul sat down with James Pearce to talk through some Liverpool transfer business, the latest on Konate and some other bits. It's out on redmantv.com now. There's some other stuff that's coming out very, very soon, which I'll tell you at the end of the show. But if you're not subscribed, I know this is biased. I know I work here. I know I get paid to be here and to say these things. But honestly, the amount of content that's coming out in the next couple of weeks is phenomenal. Go and get subscribed, watch this little clip and see what you think. We did have a trivia question before the break. 18 players, Georgia. I said name five of them.
Scott Carson.
Well done.
Thank you. Bet you weren't guessing for that one, were you?
Yeah, because I got the answers. What was the other one that you said before?
John knows this one, doesn't he?
Go on, John.
Nicky and Elke, yeah.
Nicholas Nelke. And we had a discussion in the break. Callum says he's got six.
No pressure, mate.
Go on.
So I had those two.
Yeah, question.
Sure, mate.
Sturridge on loan.
Yeah.
Chris Kirkland.
Ah, yeah.
Lambert.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, Steve Nicol.
Steve Nicol, yeah. You finished looking at your phone there, yeah?
No. Look, my list. I've got my list.
Got a few cards off screen.
Sorry. As well as the list, right? What else have you got next to you, Callum? Show the viewers what you've got.
My phone is here. Yeah.
No. Where's your Bobby mask?
Oh, here.
Just randomly.
My homie.
There you go. Just in case
the people know.
Yeah, well done. Legend. Yeah. You got Daniel Sturridge, Nicholas Anelka, Steve Nicol. You got Ricky Lambert. You got Chris Kirkland. You got David Burrows.
I forget Ricky Lambert played for us. You know.
Yeah.
Fever dream.
Someone else, Andre Wisdom. Played for them as well.
Oh yes.
So there we go. Bit of knowledge there for
and
you.
Nicholas Anelka.
Nicholas Anelka, Georgie. Yes, he did. Yeah. Right, on to Liverpool team news. Jurgen Klopp's press conference is at 12:30, so we should know a bit more then. Injury concerns, Georgia. Copy and paste from the past 6 months, so quite a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I think Kabak is the only. I say concern. I'm thinking of Reece Williams and Nat Phillips after last night's performance. But again, it's a difficult test for them, especially Reece Williams. In all seriousness, because, you know, I've stacked some analysis teams off, and I will continue to do that. But, you know, a physical side, tall physical side against an inexperienced kid, set pieces, you know, even just like, you know, kind of interplay, it's going to be tough for him, not going to give him an easy time. You know, I think you'd rather have Kabak still, wouldn't you?
Definitely. In terms of physicality, Kabak's obviously leaps and bounds above Reece at the moment because of the age difference, experience, the leagues they've played in as well. But that being said, I mean, Reece Williams has just come off a back of game where, not that he had him in his pocket, but he's just done well against one of the best strikers for a long time in Europe. I mean, Edson Cavani is no easy man to mark and to deal with, and he did really well with him. And I think for me, it's building on that, and it's going into this game knowing that you've just played against one of the toughest teams that we've had in the league for a while, and you've done well against them. So West Brom should be, you know, within his capability.
Yeah. Have you got any preference there, Johnny? There's not a lot of other choices, but we'll go on to the rest of the side in a second. But, you know, again, I said before, going to Manchester United, I would have preferred to have Fabinho there. I'm glad I was proven wrong, but I was nervous. I was nervous about Cavani. I was nervous about Rashford and Mason Greenwood. He's dealt with it well. It's a test for him. Do you stick with the same centre-back partnership and go again?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm on record as saying, you know, I much prefer us to have two centre-backs and play them rather than a midfielder going back there, because then you're messing about with two parts of the team. And I'm also a great believer in consistency, you know, playing the same guys as often as you possibly can. Williams probably deserved his chance. I like him better on the left than when he was playing on the right. Don't know why.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We'll never know why Sean prefers Reece on the left.
Callum, fill in quick.
Why does he prefer Reece on the right?
Just to add on to what John was saying.
Yes.
We rehearsed this before we came on. The reason why John likes
John's still here. He's just sitting very still.
He's listening intently to you.
The reason why he prefers him on the left-hand side is because his passing range is slightly better than that. So getting him out over on the left-hand side means he gets the ball to Robbo quicker. Plus, I also think Nat playing on the right probably helps with Trent being there, because Trent obviously usually goes forward a lot more than Robbo does. So Robbo will cover Reece a bit more, him being on the left, whereas Trent kind of leaves a lot of space with his marauding runs going forward. So I see the logic.
No shouts for Ben Davies, who might potentially be fit for this one, Callum.
Hologram.
I think he's cooking at the moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's thinking about corn. The corn.
Yeah, it's got that corn. You've got to defrost it. Yeah. You've got to, you know.
Is that with the corn hamstring? Let's move on. John. John, come back quick. Save me. Georgia, you know, I mentioned it before. I personally, I'd stick with the same team. I don't want to put any words in your mouth, but I think there's a discussion to be had. We don't know James Milner just yet, but I think Kurt Jones, I've said for the past 2-3 weeks, should be in with a shout of starting this game. It's hard when you've just played, what day is it, Thursday night, and then you're playing Sunday again, then we're playing Wednesday. I know it's the final stage of the season, you know, but you still got to maintain that rhythm, but also that the fitness of players as well.
Yeah, I do see the shout for Kurt Jones, because he did well as well when he did come on.
Got an assist.
I think, though, for me, I'd much prefer the other midfield to stay the same. I'd love to see Thiago continue to play with that kind of freedom. Gini, maybe, you know, it was maybe not his best performance that we've seen, especially in such a physical game. We usually see him come into his own. But yeah, I'd give that three another run out, and I don't see him playing on the wing. I don't see him shoving either Mane or Jota or even... definitely not Mo.
Yeah.
So I think for this game, no, I wouldn't bring him back. But, you know, if he continues to make those impacts coming off the bench, then...
Yeah, better for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Carl, are you sticking with that?
Yeah, I think so. Before the game, I would have actually started Curtis Jones. But it's a tough one, because do you want to disrupt a winning team? But at the same time, it's... two intense games in a few days. I'd probably start with the same midfield.
Yeah. One discussion we had on the final word, which I know is getting talked about a lot on social media at the minute, is obviously the Sadio Mane stuff last night. We covered that on the final word anyway. But again, going into this game, we mentioned before, you know, his reaction to Jurgen Klopp might have annoyed a lot of people, but he's annoyed with himself. That's what we both said, didn't we, George? Of, you know, he's missed a chance, he's fluffed it. He's missed that chance. He's not started the game. The other three have scored. His form hasn't been great. But we talk about freshening things up and someone kind of being pumped for a game, as it were. And I said before, take that energy from the final whistle at Old Trafford and take it into Sunday and go and show us and Jurgen Klopp that, you know, you do deserve to start games.
Yeah, again, it's the same thing, though. Do you disrupt
that? Bloody hell, Callum, come on.
Well, think about it. Jota got a goal. Bobby got two. Salah got a goal.
Think about it.
But at the same time, this is what we love. This is what we screamed about. We wanted depth where players can sort of mix and match or interchange and we still don't drop off in quality. So I would actually start Mane this game and I'd actually drop Bobby and just have the...
Just scored two goals? What are you doing?
Rip that mask.
I know. He's looking at me now as well. The mask is looking at me. I think he's disgusted with me. Mm-hmm. But I just think in this game, I think if West Brom do come at us and we've got three players who can break quickly against them, I think we destroy them.
Yeah. And equally, that's a really good point, that actually. I think in games where Bobby struggled, Georgia, is because he's central in the middle. And I talked about the two banks of four before. He gets the ball. Okay, he drops deep and tries to help out. But as soon as he turns around, there's just bodies in front of him. And he's ineffective in that sense. So maybe you know, Callum is right of rotating for this game. And you know, it might be a way forward. You know,
that mask is gonna watch him. Yeah. It's gonna follow him everywhere now. Yeah,
doesn't deserve that mask.
I've turned it over.
I think whether it's Bobby or not, I do agree. I think we'd start on Mane, because I think Mane is a bit like Mo, and what we've seen is when he's that little bit angry and when he's kind of that bit aggy, you get a whole different kind of game out of him. And I think him going into a game that's going to be physical, that's going to be tough to break down, with that bit of energy and that kind of axe to grind, I think that could be a lot more dangerous than him coming off the bench yet again. Because so many things can happen in a game, of whether you think you're bringing him on at, say, 60 minutes and that's set in stone, and before you know it, it's 70, it's 80. And I think that's kind of what happened against United. And that may be the thing that stuck in as well. I mean, you don't know if Klopp said, you're getting this amount of minutes, you're coming on, or you kind of know when he's going to make his subs and things like that. So I do think Mane coming on and starting this game would be a nice change. It's just who you drop and who you rotate, to be honest, because everyone's kind of firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, I think you're right, Cam. They're in form, I said before, you know, confidence going into the final three games of the season. You know, if you're Bobby, I don't think it'll be Mo or Jota, for the same reasons, you're going, I've just scored at Old Trafford. Like, you know, I'm in form, like, kind of play me. Whereas, you know, I call it rotating because I just don't like the word dropping, but for Mane, like, it's stacked against him. You know, he's by his standards, he's been pretty poor this season. He did miss that chance. And then, you know, there's an argument whether, I don't want to blow out of proportion, where the clock kind of goes, I don't like that reaction. So,
to be fair, to give possibly, to not put it to bed, but to one good thing is Klopp did come out and defend the reaction from Mane of saying that it was because of the...
He didn't have time to tell him.
He didn't have time to tell him. He didn't tell him properly, and that's not something that he usually does or advocates to do. And that's not a new Klopp sticking up for his players. I think that whether that's just the public facing or whether that's his genuine reaction, I think that kind of bodes well for the fact that it's done, it's over.
Stop talking about it, Ross. Is that what you're saying?
No, because content is content.
Got 3 minutes out of that. Or Callum, you know, we've got the option of all four of them. You know, if West Brom do set up in the sense of, you know, oh, I like that, yeah. If Big Sam does do pile on the gravy train, as I keep calling it, and just goes, you're not scoring a goal, we'll tell you what, we'll put all four of them on and you can deal with that. Have Fabinho and Thiago sitting a bit deeper. Give Gini the rest.
If Big Sam doesn't come out with a crockery line after this, that is gravy boats. Big Sam's gravy trade. You're branding them really
Sam's
well, yeah.
Big Sam's Bisto tits, that's what he calls it. But the option's there, Cam, and I've had the issue with that before, of going, if it doesn't work, and I think it might have been Real Madrid, or was it Newcastle that we played, and we're like, we just couldn't kind of get it over the line, we played all four. Then you look at your bench and you're going, well, Origi, like, he's on the bench and he's not on the bench and he's injured, Shaqiri, he's not had the same minutes. You're losing an impact sub in that sense when you do that, but we need to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, the thought of all four playing together it feels
oh, he's having enough now as well. This has been a disaster. We never know what it'll fill.
See, this fills his gravy jug. There we go.
Am I back?
Callum,
what does the thought of the four playing together fill you with?
Yeah,
fills me with joy. But I don't think we've done very well with all four of them. I don't think we've won a game where all four started together. So I don't know if this is a game to break that omen. But I mean, even Mane is in reasonable form before last night as well. I think he had two in three. So it's not like he was in bad form as such. But over the course of the season, I think he's been the worst attacker out of the bunch. But at the same, I mean, the front four, I mean, you've done me there, because that is my dream scenario. But it also worries me, because if we don't break them down, then we've kind of not got anything on the bench that I think could break them down.
Yeah, I'm going all four. I'm going all out. Let's have a look at the other fixtures. And I said this before, Brighton versus West Ham, Georgia. That's tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Or Brighton, aren't we?
Tantalising game.
Well, it might not be, but we could do with a massive Brighton win there, just to make the weekend a little bit easier. And again, going into Sunday afternoon is quite a nice time, because fixtures might go our way again, and then we can go, actually, you know, make it count again.
Yeah, no, completely. And I think Brighton, they're one of those teams that it could happen. You never really know with them and how they play. And I think there is a chance there, especially with kind of the way West Ham have been going recently, that they do get a result. And I mean, it's not really something I'll be tuning into, but I will be keeping an eye on it because, you know, we win all three. I think that's the good thing about the result as well last night, is it really does put it in our own hands. Like John said, goal difference aside.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really think we're in a strong position now of not kind of having to constantly keep one eye and you know, keep an eye on everyone else.
Yeah, it's going to be a stressful couple of weeks going into the end of this. The other one that I've got down there, Callum, is Tuesday. Chelsea-Leicester, obviously, I think it's the cup finals weekend, so they're not playing. They play on Tuesday. Again, I haven't got the brand of maths, but this game, again, the Chelsea-Leicester game will only matter, and is only worth watching to put yourself through the emotions if we win on Sunday.
Yeah, indeed. If we win on Sunday, then I want a 4-4 in that game. I want it to be entertaining back and forth and a draining game for both teams.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that. Let's have some score predictions, George. Liverpool versus West Brom.
4-0.
4-0?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Blimey.
One for each of the front four.
But Mane's going to come on.
Okay. Optimism, Callum.
No, are you...
pressure's on, mate. What are you going for?
Don't be a pessimist. You love your club, don't you, Callum?
I'm going to go 2-0 Liverpool.
Okay. Oh. I'm going to 1-0.
Oh, boo.
I'm not bothered. Just 3 points.
3 points.
Yeah,
get the 3 points, get a goal, get out of there, go home, make it count. I'll probably text John and ask him what his score prediction was because he
it's
has left
coming
us.
Through. Yeah,
4-1. 4-1. Oh, John's going to concede the goal. Thanks for that. Is he there?
Good.
Technology, eh? Disappoint anyone. Let us know your thoughts, your predictions. Yeah. Oh, super chat, sorry. Tom's shouting at me.
Do you like me to fill the silence with some David Gray?
Yeah, go ahead. Scott Hawks, sorry. Thank you very much, Scott Hawks, $30 US. Drop Bobby, what? Callum, seriously. Manny desperately needs to find his form. I'm running out of games, so I play him. I wouldn't drop Bobby as he's finally finding his. That's you told.
Yeah. I completely agree. I hope Bobby
someone's paid money to tell you off for dropping Bobby, right? Yeah. Think about what you've done. You take next 5 minutes of your life, put that mask up against the wall, stare at Bobby, look at him in the eyes and tell him you drop him.
Look at his teeth. Surely, look into that gleaming white and tell him no.
All four for me. Thank you very much, Scott, as always, for supporting us and what we do. Let us know your score predictions, your predicted lineups, or what you kind of go for. Would you go for the front four? Would you play Manny, or would you go stick with the team that beat Manchester United? And before I do go, I said about content. We've got something huge coming up. It's been in the working for months. I can't give too much away. It's a Jordan Henderson 10 years documentary that involves the big man Jurgen Klopp and many more names that wish I could tell you. But I just can't. So get subscribed to redmentv.com. Watch all the content we've got so far. Loads of interviews, loads of documentaries on there already, but soon we'll be coming out with another teaser soon. But here's the first teaser of that documentary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.